stand again. It's always a blessing to be in the house of the Lord and to lift up our voices in praise to His holy and righteous name. God has been so good to us, and He certainly deserves all of our praise, all our honoring Him, and all the glory we can give Him, because we don't deserve what we have, but it's because of His grace and mercy that we really are here. And I don't forget that. As a matter of fact, I'm more conscious of it now than I've ever been. Amen. He brought me across some mountains I knew I couldn't have gotten over. Brought me up out of some valleys I knew I couldn't have climbed up out of them. But it had to be the Lord. Amen. And I don't take Him for granted. I don't take His blessings for granted. No one should. No one should take Him for granted. It's because of His love, His grace, and His mercy. Before I get too carried away, let me pause just here to say that on today was another great day. Amen. Lord is so good, I tell you. You all been treating me so royally. I appreciate that. I've been eating good every day. Tim, they've been really feeding me good. On today, Brother Jimmy Stone and Sister Veronica Stone took me to one of the high-end I tell you the truth, and I don't know, this hospitality that you all have, I'm just crazy about it. I mean, nobody ever let me pay anything. You all don't like my money because it's little or something? But the hospitality is great. I appreciate them. They took me out to this wonderful place, and the place is now, when you walk in the door, they got the steaks all laid out in the showcase there. Oh yes. And he said to me, see those steaks there? Oh, yes, I see them. But we thank them so much. They're such wonderful and beautiful people. And we thank you so much for your kindness. Now, tonight is the last night that I'll be involved in this session, meetings. But I've enjoyed myself. I've been helped. I hope you have. Amen. Amen. I tell people, you know, when I'm preaching, I don't just preach to you. I preach to me too. Amen. I preach to me too. And every now and then, I have to kind of move my foot, be getting a little close to me. And if we all tell the truth, we'll say the same thing, because the gospel is not partial. No, no. It certainly is applicable to us all. On tonight, we're going to read a passage of scripture from the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're going to read verses 16 through 19. That's all right. That's Luke chapter 4. Verses 16 through 19. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I'm going to read 18 again, if you don't mind. At least part of it. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And we're going to talk to you for a short while tonight on the subject, Jesus is the antidote for society's illness. Jesus is the antidote for society's illness. Antidote is a remedy, some other agent to counteract the effect of a poison. Anything that relieves or counteracts an injurious effect is an antidote. Societal is that which is pertaining to the structure and organization or the function of society. Illness is sickness, either of the body or the mind. So Jesus is the antidote for society's illness. Reference to our case today is the evil and wickedness of society, a sin-sick world. And we need not look far to see and observe that society is suffering from a multiplicity of spiritual diseases. These spiritual diseases have escalated to an epidemic proportion among humanity. All the sciences, psychology, philosophy, and all of the modern methods employed in an effort to heal the spiritual malady of society have failed miserably. We need Jesus. Jesus is the antidote for societal illness. When Jesus walked this earth among men in the flesh, during his earthly ministry, he encountered a myriad of sick folk, both in body and in their minds. But regardless of the nature of their illness, Jesus was the antidote to make them whole. I'm going to make mention of a few, and y'all can take this lesson and run on home. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, And verse number 20, Jesus was the antidote for healing of the body. See, Jesus came to address the whole man's needs. Oh, yes. He came in contact with a woman who had for 12 years been suffering from an issue of blood and would be termed in our day as a bleeding cancer. But just one touch of the Master's garment and she was made whole. In John chapter 5, he saw a man at the pool of Bethesda where lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind and halt and withered. They're waiting for the moving of the waters. Because an angel would come down at a certain season of the year and trouble the water, and whosoever first stepped in was healed of whatever sickness he had. This certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. He had been coming to the pool 38 years trying to get healed. Could you think of going to a doctor for a complaint 38 years trying to get some relief? This man went there year after year, but he was infirmed, you know. This man, his mobility was slow. And there were others who were faster than him. And every year when he got there and got close to the pool, and Brother Malone just about to step in, one of those fast dudes stepped in the pool. He got to go and come back next year. But thank God for Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus saw him. And I stop by to tell you today, if you need something, Jesus see you. He saw him, and when he saw him, he asked him a question. Do you want to get well? The question was simple. Do you want to get well? Now, that simple question deserved a simple answer. See, folk want things to be too complicated. God's plan of salvation is simple, y'all. You don't have to go in and pray all night, get your head wet in the midnight, doing all this to see some little man. You don't have to go through all that stuff. It's a simple plan of salvation. He asked him a simple question. Do you want to be made whole? The answer should have been, yes, Lord. But no, he says. He went to address his complaints. And that's what we do. Always trying to give our complaints to somebody else instead of giving them to the Lord. The Lord said, do you want to be made whole? He said, well, I tell you what, Jesus. And allow me to see if I can put this on the front screen. Jesus, I've been coming up here every year for 38 years. You asking me, do I want to be made whole? I've been coming up here 38 years trying to get healed. Jesus, I'll tell you what you do. Forget the food. Forget the food. Get up. Watch out. Lord, I thought the healing was in the pool. It was in the pool, but not for you. I'm here now. Get up. Pick up your bed. said, get up. And the Bible says, immediately, the man was made whole. Jesus is the antidote. Can I give you one or two more? St. John chapter 9. Jesus saw a blind man who was blind from his birth. And he made spittle of clay and anointed that blind man's eyes and told him, go wash in Siloam. You know what I wondered about that passage? Like I said, some things I'm not going to make it an issue, but I've wondered about that passage. You probably have too. This man is blind. He can't see. Look like me and Jesus should have called somebody, hey, will you take this man to the pool so he can. He told him to go. If God tells you to do something, he'll provide a way for you to get it done. Well, I have to ask you no questions. Although I might have questions in my mind, but he just said, go wash in Siloam. And the man went and washed. He didn't say nobody went with him. Might have, I don't know. But he came back seeing. Jesus can fix it. Let me give you another. He went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick folk that were taken with divers diseases, those who were tormented with demons, and those which were possessed with devils, and those who were lunatics, those who had palsy, and he healed them all. In Mark chapter 7, he unstopped deaf ears. And he loosed stammering tongues. In Mark 7, he cast out a devil out of a woman's daughter. Luke chapter 8, he met a crazy man who had a legion of devils. And Jesus evicted every one of them and closed that man and gave him back his right mind. Jesus is the antidote for society's illness. Not only did he heal the sick, open blinded eyes, loose stammering tongues, unstop deaf ears, stabilize palsied hands, cast out demonic spirits, but he raised up the dead and forgave sins. Oh yes, Jesus had power on earth to forgive sins. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Jesus can regulate an out of control society. I tell you, church, we just need to stay on our knees and talk to God. The Lord can regulate an out of control society. And the reason that society is out of control, because it's not in Christ. If you can get them in Christ, we can get them in control. The Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. You see, folk are trying to change society with all these different various gimmicks that they're coming up with, but it's not going to work. We can't change the deadly course of society without changing the condition of men's hearts. Guns won't fix it. More policemen won't fix it. A new governor won't fix it. And heaven knows our president can't do nothing with it. Excuse me, Mr. Trump. You cannot change the condition of man's heart unless you can get God's word in his heart. You got to change the contents of the heart. Because when you see folk acting a fool, it's because they got foolishness in their hearts. Amen. In the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Read that for me. I'm not going to ask for too much reading tonight. Just a little bit. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. The reason why that young man shot this fellow employee to death is because he has a heart problem. His heart wasn't right. Our actions come as a result of what Jesus said in Luke 6:45, what did he say, Brother Branch? Watch it now. A good man out of the what? A good man out of the treasures of his heart. Read. If you got God in you, you're going to act like him. But if you got the devil in you, you're going to act like the devil. So when you see folk acting like the devil, rest assured the devil is in them. Amen. Amen. Peter declared, see, you can't be pure inside if you ain't got the word in you. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Go get that from him, Brother Branch, if you don't mind. You got to get the word in people so their hearts will be pure. All of this other stuff coming out because you don't have nothing pure in there. Now, read what I said because God. I think that's what I need. What does that verse say you got? I was asking you to get that. One of y'all get that. I want him to keep me out.
Trust in the law.
Okay. I thought that was wrong. Get me the book of Psalms, chapter 30 and verse. Say it again now.
For his anger.
But for a moment.
His favor is for a lifetime.
His favor for a lifetime, I think.
For a night,
yeah.
But in the morning.
Yeah, okay. That still ain't what I want. It's running from me, but I'm going to have to get it. Now what you reading Psalms, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't need Psalms. I need Proverbs. That's what I need. I know what I need is in Proverbs. And it's going to make me go ahead and quote it until I find it. But I know what it says and what my point is. That's what I'm looking for. Y'all know what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I want Proverbs 30. Word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. If you want the heart to be pure, you got to get into the heart that which is pure. Folk can't act right if the hearts are not pure. He said, every word of God is pure. And he is what? A shield to them who put their trust in him. That's good for that. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing you have done what? Purified your souls in doing what? Obeying the truth. You got to get the truth. What is the truth? John 17, 17. Don't have the word of God in there. Okay, that's good. Thank you, brother. Paul declared, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I stopped by to say that the world needs men and women who have been made new. New minds to think right. New hearts to be right. New attitudes to act right. And new determination to stay right. Church, we are living in a day when right side up has been turned upside down. We are living in a time of ingratitude and disrespect. No respect for self. No respect for your neighbor. No respect for God. That's the kind of world we are living in. We are living in a society of perverted values. We pride ourselves in materialistic values and possessions and minimize the needs and suffering of real people. We are living in a world of perverted family structure. We have turned things upside down. God has designed things as they should be, but we've changed them. And look like some of that stuff is kind of seeping over into the lost church. We've changed family structure. God's design is husband is the head of the wife. Before I take it back, I'll add some more to it. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Now watch this. The wife is to submit herself to her husband. Children should respect and obey their parents. But what do we see today? The man, husband, have neglected his responsibility and have forced the women in many cases to have to take up the slack that he should have been taking up. The woman, sometimes she does it on her own. What has happened? Here's the results. The results is the children don't know what to do. Mama going one way, daddy going another way, and they don't know which way to go. We are living in a society of perverted lifestyle. We don't like to preach on this. But somebody got to say it. We are witnessing a phenomenal episode of same-sex cohabitation. I tell you today that society is sick. Don't mean no harm. I love everybody. I mean it with all my heart. I love everybody. But whenever a man want to marry a man, you sick. Might not think you sick, but you sick. When a woman want to marry a woman, you sick. That couldn't have been God's plan. I don't care if the president and the Congress and all of them approve it. God says it's an abomination. Amen. Well, man, you speak like you sound so awful, like you hate folk. I don't hate them, but I love you. I love you. If I don't tell you the truth, you're exposed to danger and don't know it. Amen. I said this, you know. They said, well, why? That's so harsh. Well, if you go to the doctor, don't you want to know so you can do something about it? Don't you? Well, if you out here in sin and you're on your way to a place that's not heaven, don't you want to know about it? Because just a little joy in this life for a few minutes ain't worth eternity in a hell of fire where the fire don't go out, where the one don't ever die. You're hurt. Jesus is what we need. We're living in some troublous times. But I submit to you tonight that Jesus is the answer to all of our questions, the solution to all of our problems. He is the antidote for all of our illnesses, and he's the panacea for disorder of the soul. If only we would just submit ourselves to his healing power, society would be healed. As I close this lesson out, when King Solomon had built the house of the Lord, when he had made all of the furnishing and the vessels, he prayed. Church, we got to pray. We need more prayer. I said, we need more prayer, and I'm serious about that. When he had done it, he prayed. He prayed a long prayer. See, we need a lot of stuff from the Lord. He prayed that if a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath is laid upon him to make him swear, when that oath come up before you, Lord, he said, Lord, please judge your servant. If Israel, your people, be put to the worst before thy enemies because they have sinned against thee. And let me tell you something. A lot of stuff we are suffering right now in America. You can believe it if you want to. Because we are too sinful. We are too sinful. And let me tell you something. Whenever people get so sinful they disregard God, God will cause some stuff to happen to you to put you back on track. This ain't nothing new. I tell the church at home, and I believe this too. You see, we have to have oh, we're all going to need to talk. Get out of there. We don't want to hear you. You made us think. Oh, yes, see, because he said, well, see, Trump will stand up there and say what the other folks didn't want to say and wouldn't say. He putting some pressure on us. We need to get right. Get right with God, because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Yeah, he prayed. In verse 36 to 39, he said, if they be carried away in the captivity, if they bethink themselves. See, we need to bethink ourselves. Turn from what we are doing. I mean, you keep on doing the same thing over and over and over. You're going down, down, down. You don't have enough sense to realize and they turn around. Something wrong with that. But if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried away and turn and pray, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and we have dealt wickedly. That's what America has done. Then he said, God, if they turn to you, hear from heaven and maintain their cause and forgive your people. And God will do that. In chapter 7, when Solomon finished praying, the Bible said fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. And I've chosen this place for myself, for in the house of sacrifice. Then he said, let me tell you something. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, he said, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. God will heal the land in America too if we can turn from our wicked ways. God has set up an order for humanity and man has changed it. And we're suffering the consequences. Jesus is the antidote for society's illness. And in my conclusion, let me tell you something. I don't believe that God would go through all the trouble he did to save us and then allow us to get to heaven any way we want to. God went through a lot to save us. God made man, he loved man, but man left God. God didn't leave us. Man went off with Satan in the Garden of Eden. But ever since, God been determined to get man back. But he went through a long list in the process. Oh, yes. That was Abraham, great man, but he could not bring man back to God. No, Abraham was a good man, but he couldn't get us back to God. Why couldn't he get us back to God? Because God needs a perfect man to get us back to God. Abraham couldn't do it. Why can't you do it, Abraham? Why can't you get us back with God? Abraham will tell you, I can't do it because one day I got scared and told a lie
And God can't use no liars to bring man back to him. Noah couldn't do it. Noah couldn't do it. Noah came out the ark and got drunk. God can't use no drunkards to bring us back to him. Solomon couldn't do it. He had too many women. Heathen women. God don't need no adulterer and homeowner to bring man back to him. He couldn't do it. David. He had a man killed for his wife. He couldn't get us back. God had to keep looking. Oh yes, he kept on looking. And then he looked under the altar. And he saw somebody. The Son of God. Jesus. He is the only one that can get man back to God. God said, go down there, Jesus. Take on a human body and find out how man feels and find out about his hurts and his happiness. Live in that body and find out about man. I want you to bring him back. Jesus came down and lived in this flesh as a man and as God. And finally one day, this Jesus, he chose 12 men, taught them about his Father's business, and told them one day, I'm going up to Jerusalem. They're going to mistreat me. They're going to crucify me. All the disciples thought he was really going out of his mind. But sure enough, one day, we find that the Lord and my Savior, while he was with his disciples, there he was with the 12 and one of them by the name of Judas got up from the table and went out and sold his master for 30 pieces of silver. He didn't realize it was in God's plan. But God had planned this thing out and he sold him. And the Bible says when the mob came, they came out after Jesus like he was a thief. Jesus said to them, why are you coming after me like a thief? I've been all out there among you and you didn't do nothing to me. Why are you coming at me like I'm a thief? And the Bible said they fell back like dead men. Jesus had been out in the Garden of Gethsemane talking to his daddy. And he said, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. The agony that Jesus went through to get man back to God is unimaginable for a common man. He prayed in that garden and said to his disciples, that little group that he had, the only little family he had on earth. And he said to his family, y'all watch with me here. I got to go and talk to my Father because my cup is bitter. And the Bible says he went away and he prayed. And he came back. And they were asleep. Can you imagine what that was? At your weakest point, at your darkest hour, when your pain is most excruciating and the closest one to you, could you imagine a man when everybody else is at you and you're at your lowest And then you say to this lady right here closest to you, baby, just stay here with me for a while. I'm in pain. And then when you look around, she's asleep. Jesus, on the third time, came back and said to them, sleep on. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's when they came and they took him. And they took him to the hall of Annas, the former high priest. Annas checked his record and said, I can't find nothing wrong with Jesus. The crowd wasn't satisfied. They said, well, let's take him to the hall of Caiaphas, the priest. And he checked this record, said, I can't find nothing wrong with this man. He's a little strange, you know, but I can't find nothing worthy of death. The folk were not satisfied. Let's try. When they tried him, he said, I can't find no fault in this man. And when that happened, the crowd cried out. Let me try to make you see it. You won't find one of these words in there, but you'll know it's there. In their hearts, they said, we don't care about you finding no fault. We just want to get rid of Jesus. Crucify him anyway. Jesus, let me tell you something. Think about it. Oh, my God. Jesus said, if I wanted to really protest this thing, I could talk to my Father and he'll legions of angels. 12 legions of angels. A legion consists of from 3 to 6,000. If it's a 6, that's 72,000 angels my Father will send. And let me tell you something. 72,000 angels, I recall that just one angel went to a city. He was killing so fast, God said, hold up, don't kill them all. But not 72. Jesus said, yo, I could get out of this if I want to. But he said, for this cause, I came into the world. He went on to that cross, y'all. He went on to that cross, and the Bible says they took him, they marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall, and then they whipped him unmerciful, and they put a cross upon his shoulder, the crown of thorns on his head, and compelled him and told him, take that cross up to the top of the hill. Let me tell y'all something. When you had 39 lashes, your body is so weak, you can hardly carry yourself. But Jesus carried that cross. Got all to the top of the hill. The weight got so heavy, TMB fell underneath the cross. It got heavy for him, but God had a plan. Here come a black man. Yes. And helped him carry that cross. That's why we get the song from Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone and All the World Go Free. There's a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. I stop by and tell you, Jesus bore his cross upon Calvary's hill. And they took him off the cross. They took the cross off of him and put him, brother, on the cross. Nailed his hands with spikes. I said, they nailed his hands. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about your hand. Think about your hand being stretched out on a cross. and somebody driving nails right through there. In hands, and then put your feet together and drive a nail through your feet. The pain is becoming excruciating. And then on top of that, they'll take that cross and raise it up to a peck and drop it in a hole that gets the wounds of your hands and feet, sending excruciating pain in your body. I can understand why Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The pain was agonizing, y'all. But God said, I got to get man back to me. I got to let Satan know, you ain't got more power than me. I'll send my son down there. He'll bring man back to me. And people, after you've done all of that, we allow this gospel to pass by us like it has no meaning. When God has done all of that for us, the suffering will be excruciating for us. If you're not a child of God, come to Jesus tonight. Be a member of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church of Christ. Amen. And live a Christian life. And one day, heaven will be your home. Anybody here tonight who want to come to Jesus?